Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
So the kids get on these games, these apps where they play games against each other and stuff. But then a stranger can get in there, start talking to the kid. So you have to let your kids know, do not interact with people online or on the apps, period.
Yeah, my son blocks all that, though. You know, my daughter don't play games, but my son, and if the kids are on there cursing, he'll let us know. He's going to snitch them out.
He's going to snitch on me. Wait, how old is he?
10 years old.
10 years old, he's snitching?
Oh, yeah, he snitched the football coaches out 2 days ago. he's in a camp. And the football coaches were cursing and you know, saying some stuff. He came home. Him and his buddies came home and told, because they were uncomfortable with the language.
Yeah. See, Key, I'm not.
And I curse like a sailor at home.
Same. And what I tell my girls, because so do they, because they hear me, is, and they're young, is, look, I'm not uptight about language in the same way other people are, other grown-ups are. If you need to express yourself, you express yourself. It's just adding to your vocabulary, really. But you should know this, and I let them know. If someone else's mom hears you talking like that, they might not want their kid to play with you. Right? Yeah, like, just be aware of that.
I'm with you on that with my kids. Express yourself. I get it. I don't really trip off of it. I used to trip when I was younger, and my older kids were younger. There was all sorts of stuff that I couldn't tolerate or deal with. I'm not like that anymore. Completely changed years ago. But my kids are some of the most respectful. I'm so proud. And I don't know where they got it from. They didn't get it from me. But I'm so proud of the respect level that they got for other people and other people's parents and other kids. And thank you, you know, no, sir. Yes. Not yeah. Yes. You know, I don't know where they got it from. They ain't get it from me.
You know what I have done with my kids, Key, from an early age, is when they're talking to an adult, they look them in the eye, they speak up so they can be heard. You know, that stuff is important. It's all important.
All that. No, it's so important to me.
Although the number one thing is, and this goes for any kid, is that at least one grown-up, you know, loves them and takes care of them. If they got that, they're going to be all right. And then everything else is gravy, man.
Yeah, I want my kids, you know, whenever I leave this earth, I want to make sure that I left my kids in the best situation and shape in terms of respect and everything for everybody. I could close my eyes and rest peacefully knowing that they are doing the right things by themselves, and not only by themselves, for others as well.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Key, here's Woj on how the DeAndre Ayton deal, remember, he was made an offer sheet, largest offer sheet in history by the Indiana Pacers, $133 million, and the Suns, who were dragging their feet, they didn't want to pay a center that much unless it's, you know, like Jokic or Embiid or someone like that. They immediately, didn't wait till the deadline, just matched the offer sheet. But here's Adrian Wojnarowski on how the Ayton deal, what kind of an impact it could have on a potential Suns-Nets trade for KD. Listen to this.
Within moments of DeAndre Ayton signing a record four-year, $133 million offer sheet with the Indiana Pacers, the Phoenix Suns match that offer sheet. They'll retain DeAndre Ayton, the restricted free agent center. Now, they can't trade him until January 15th, and DeAndre Ayton has the right to veto any trade for the next year. So how that impacts the Suns' pursuit of Kevin Durant, well, it makes it difficult for them to have the necessary assets to get a deal done for Durant. Remember, Devin Booker can't be traded for a year because of his contract extension. They had no interest in trading him anyway for Durant. And now Ayton, at least until January 15th, can't be moved. It will be challenging for Phoenix to find the kind of package they'll need to try to pry Kevin Durant out of Brooklyn.
So does this mean KD will be a net until at least January 15th? I'm not so sure, Key. I'm not so sure. I mean, we saw what Daryl Morey did. Daryl Morey did with Ben Simmons. And he just held on to him, disgruntled, didn't matter, held on to him until he got what he wanted, which was James Harden. He wanted an impact player, not just a guy, but a high-impact player. And he did. He got him. Look, Harden is diminished, but still, that was the idea anyway. And maybe Brooklyn does the same thing with KD, or maybe because KD really put them on the map. I mean, when he decided to sign with them, he could have signed with anyone. He really helped them out. Maybe he's like, look, on the strength, man, trade me where I want to go, and they'll get the best package they can for him sooner than later. What do you think? Will he be a net until January 15th?
Max, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think he gets dealt before. Because as I say in football, we ain't missing no time in the offseason. The games don't start till October. Mm-hmm. So they've got time to figure it out. There's no rush to doing it. If he truly wants to be traded, he's going to get traded. I don't know how you don't trade him, because there's two things that could happen here, right? He does have a little bit of an injury history. And do we know that his heart is going to be in it if he goes back and have to play till January? Oh, he'll do it. He loves to play basketball. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, until he doesn't love to play anymore. So they've got to figure that out and measure that carefully. Because when I mean, anything could happen between October and January. Now, what's the value?
I think there's also, I think they will deal him, and I'll tell you why. Well, first of all, the basketball world's watching the Nets. They can't be incompetent and get nothing for him. But players want to see how KD is treated right now, right? If you do him, like Jeannie Buss, I remember talking about this when she extended Kobe. Kobe had just come off an Achilles, hadn't even played a game yet. They hadn't seen him run yet. And they gave him, and they were out of contract problems, right? And Jeannie handed him a 2-year, at the time, this was a very big deal, 2-year, $50 million contract extension. And I asked her, why? You don't even know if he can still play. And by the way, he couldn't really. He had that one last game where he's dropped 60 because he's Kobe Bryant. But he was no longer in effect. He shot a lot, didn't shoot it very efficiently. He was coming off an Achilles. He was very old, played a ton of minutes. Jeannie, why'd you give him the $50 million extension? Now you can't afford to rebuild and everything. And she said the Lakers, basically her answer was the Lakers operate properly. They operate like a franchise people want to play for. They do the right thing. And she was telling me how the league's watching and she wants to send a message that they do right by their players. But what I told her at the time, and I believe this, is you can say that and maybe that's true. It has that effect. And a lot of people tell themselves this story. Well, the reason I'm behaving this way is because it's to my benefit eventually. It's just the right thing to do. People know the right thing to do. And the Nets, because KD chose them, he did not have to, he chose them, should do right by KD. It will have the added benefit of showing the league that they're a good organization, but they'll do right by him. And there's another reason, Key. You ever heard Arnold Schwarzenegger talk about lifting weights and how he did it? It's like on social media a lot. It makes its rounds on Instagram still. Schwarzenegger talks about when he was Mr. Universe, whatever, he would lift and he'd see other guys lifting the same as him, same weights, same reps. But you could see they weren't interested. They were just trying to get through it. And he was concentrating and putting his heart into it. So the same reps, same weight, same everything, one dude looked different than the other. And you can think about your own life. I think about mine. When you do something and your heart's in it, even the motion is the same, the results are different. If you put KD, I'm not saying he'll do a James Harden. He'll tank or anything. He won't. He'll hoop. But if his heart ain't in it, you ain't going to win. And the Nets have to know that, too. They got to deal him before January 15th, right?
It's very difficult when you request a trade and they're actively trying to find a trade partner, at over the course of time, your heart will leave that organization.
Mm-hmm.
Because you already checked out.
Checked out.
You've already checked out. So thinking that, oh, no, he's going to play basketball, this is what he loves to do, it doesn't matter, blah, 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 blah. And you try to force him back into a situation that his heart isn't in, bad things happen at that point.
Yeah, he'll give you 30 still, but the team's not going to win.
The team ain't going to win.
It's not the same 30.
It don't feel the same. Like, he ain't going to be rallying the troops, doing timeouts, you know. Instead of coming in at 8 o'clock, he might come in at 8:35.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a different deal.
Quentin Richardson, I'd like to bring you into this conversation, former NBA player, of course, and co-host of the Knuckleheads podcast, which cuts through the clutter and makes noise. Q, first of all, you think KD, the DeAndre Ayton situation, means the Nets won't deal him before the start of the season, or do you believe he'll be in another uniform when the season begins?
Man, I honestly have no clue what's going to happen here. I was, you know, once he had officially came out and requested it, I was like, okay, that's it. Brooklyn is over. You know, that's in the rearview mirror. But, I mean, obviously with the way everything is playing out, I'm at the point now where I really don't know if you know, whether they get a chance to, you know, come back to Brooklyn for another year and give it a shot, or whether they really, you know, follow through with the, you know, trade requests and get traded. I mean, I don't know how it's going to go down, because it's kind of up in the air with, you know, especially after the Ayton trade saying that he can't be moved unless he agrees to do it. So, you know, it's a tough scenario.
Q, do you think at all it would be tough to request a trade by KD, Kyrie, they want to move according to everybody, and then all of a sudden, they've got to come back now and rescind the request, as well as trying to trade Kyrie, for them to go back on the floor for this particular organization and play with their heart in it for the organization?
I don't think that's as, I mean, come on, Q, we know how it go. I mean, if we find our own motivation, we can do different things. I mean, we saw LeBron go back to Cleveland after the owner said what he said about him. I think this is a situation where if KD decided to go back, I mean, it's not as tumultuous as some of those others, because it was something that he asked. It wasn't like the team tried to get rid of him and then he has a reason to be, you know, upset that he has to return there. Like, he requested the trade. So if he decides that for whatever reason he wants to go back, I think from the player's perspective, it's a lot easier to do as compared to when the team tries to trade you, then you have to come back. In that situation, not a lot of players are going to want to do that at all. But I mean, with it being that KD requested a trade, he can change his mind and be whatever. And I think from a player standpoint, it's a little bit easier to do in that situation.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, player request, all right, I'll come back, versus team, get out, we don't like you anymore.
Yeah.
And then, oh, come play for me. Speaking of in and out and coming back and playing for me, the Jazz seem like that they might be on the move and making a deal potentially with the New York Knicks to get Donovan Mitchell. Is Donovan Mitchell potentially the answer to turning the New York Knicks organization around in the future?
I think he definitely is a great step in the right direction for the Knicks. If they can get him and this can actually go through, I mean, I don't know him personally or well enough to know whether it's what he personally wants. But I mean, if they could get a young, you know, up-and-coming superstar, somebody who's a superstar-level all-star player like him to add to that team, I mean, this only helps what New York is trying to accomplish, you know, trying to get players that want to come there. And this is an all-star type player that, you know, if that's the case and he wants to be there, this is unbelievable. I mean, all of the ties he has in New York, seems like he really would, you know, be a good fit there. So, I mean, this could be a great situation for the Knicks if they could land a young star like him.
Hey, Q, follow me here on this one, okay? This is why I think the Knicks could be in trouble with this, because every time with Dolan, it's the same thing. He hires a new regime. He loses patience after 3-4 years. They're not making enough progress. And now they have to start to panic and make a big move to keep their jobs. Now, here's what I'm thinking. They got Brunson in the backcourt. They got R.J. Barrett. Danny Ainge is going to, I think, make them think he wants R.J. Barrett. And they'll think, oh, no, we're going to hold on to R.J., give him everything else for Donovan Mitchell. Now you're going to have to pay RJ off the rookie deal, you know, the rookie max, rather. You're gonna, right. You got Donovan and Max, and your team basically that you're trying to win with is Brunson, RJ Barrett, and Donovan Mitchell, and then whatever else you can fit around them, which ain't going to be much because you spent all your money. This is how the Knicks stay in, like, first-round playoff territory at best. Maybe they'll win a playoff series, and that's it. I think it's a dangerous trade for them if they're not careful.
I agree with that. It's one of those things that could obviously go either way, but I think if Donovan comes there and he plays up to what the expectations they expect him to be, I think all that other stuff can be figured out, whether they have to give up RJ or whoever they have to give up. I think once you get him in there, you kind of deal with all those other things later. Because, I mean, the thing that New York has been thirsty for is a young star. Mm-hmm. And I think you got to take it one step at a time. I mean, you don't want to, like you say with the Melo thing, you don't want to just deplete the whole team and get him and have nothing left over once he comes. You still want to be able to do something. But you want to do the best thing you can to try and get that star because, I mean, everybody knows, like, if New York can get a star and get somebody that has, you know, that magnetism to other players that they attract, that they want to possibly play with them. And, I mean, we don't know how that would work out for Donovan, but I think he would have a good chance to, you know, to sway people to come play with him. He's a good guy. He's well-respected, well-liked. So I don't see why guys wouldn't want to play with him. So, I mean, if he does those things, I think that's the number one reason and goal you go after him because you just want to try and get some type of superstar there to let them know that, like, okay, look, it's cool to come here. When they come here, you're gonna enjoy yourself. You're going to be treated like a king in New York and all of these different things. I think they need to show that more so than anything else to try and get these guys to start coming there because I think that's the real overwhelming, the overshadowing thing in the background of why – the stars won't choose New York because they want to enjoy their money. They don't want to be ridiculed and criticized and all that. I think if somebody goes there and shows them how good it could be when you're there, if you're doing your thing, I think that could change that narrative for them.
I think that's a great point. Let me ask you this, because to me, is Donovan Mitchell good enough to be the best player on a championship team? To me, if the Knicks already had a guy a little better than him, then do whatever it takes to bring him in, right? But they don't. He's going to be their best player by far, unless R.J. Barrett continues to develop, which is possibly still very young. But if not, he's going to be their best player. Is he good enough to be the best player on a championship team?
I don't want to say that he can't because he hasn't been put in that situation. But I mean, just from right now, from what he's proven, you wouldn't really necessarily just say that about everything that he's done. But I think he's in a situation where, if given that opportunity to prove that, we have to see what he would do. Because, I mean, he has shown in deep playoff runs that he can show up and he can be big time. So, I mean, he hasn't really been given that full opportunity in that type of environment in a New York City where he's going to be that big spotlight. So, I mean, I would say just give him his chance and see what he's going to do before I say he can't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this, Q. As a former NBA player and co-host of the Knuckleheads podcast and paying attention to all basketball things all your life, how come smaller guards that are the number one guys on teams can't seem to carry their team to a championship? And I'm not talking about the Steph Currys of the world because Steph is different. He's, you know, shoot. I'm just talking about that Donovan Mitchell style, size, that type of impact.
I think those situations are different, man. I think, when you look at those guys, you know, they don't have the full, like, especially when you compare it to somebody like a situation like Steph. I mean, his complement and everything that's around him is so great and so perfect. I mean, a lot of those guys don't have the complements the right way. I mean, you know, you look at what D-Wade isn't necessarily like a huge guard. He's 6'4", 6'5", whatever, and, like, he was the lead guy because they had a great team around him, and he was prepared at that time to, you know, to take the helm and go where they wanted him to go. But I mean, I think it's tough, you know, when you get smaller guards and they don't have the right complementary pieces around them, because it's for you to be the lead guy and to take them to, like, championship type rounds as a smaller guard. There's no way you can do that without the proper pieces. I mean, that's why what Allen Iverson did was so amazing. He had, I mean, offensively, he didn't have much to help him at all. He had great, great complementary defensive players with the Kimbe, Snow, McKee, Lynch, and all those guys. They were great defensively, but we all know, honestly, that they weren't anywhere near, you know, the compliments that he would have needed to really compete and win the championship offensively. So what he did was like having a Hercules effort going out there every night to drag them and to get them to that point. And that's extremely difficult to do.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the short answer is the basket's 10 feet up in the air. It selects out for height. You know, that's the reason that people are tall in the NBA. But in this shooting era, if you're shorter, like, you know, you can still shoot the ball. And Mitchell's really more of a slasher than a shooter. But he would electrify Madison Square Garden and the entire city. There is no doubt about that. You know what else is electrifying? The Knuckleheads podcast. Quentin Richardson, co-host of the Knuckleheads podcast. Always love it when you jump on with us, Q.
Appreciate you, fellas.
All right, but
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. If you're a renter, make sure you're protected. Renter's insurance includes options that cover stolen property, personal injury, and living expenses if your place is damaged. Quote renter's insurance at progressive.com. Should the Knicks give up everything to get Donovan Mitchell? We're going to talk about that coming up. I have a theory about that, Key. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, ESPN app.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive is proud to team up with Hello Alice to support small businesses. Get access to small business resources and learn about small business grants at HelloAlice.com. Joined now by the great Jeff Van Gundy, ESPN NBA analyst and former NBA head coach, of course. Coach, good morning, first of all.
Morning. How are you guys doing?
Good, Coach. Not bad.
Yeah, always good to talk to you. Key's losing his voice. What else can I tell you? I'm starving myself because I had retinal surgery. I had surgery on my retina, so I can't do anything or exercise, and it's summertime. I'm trying not to get fat, Coach. I'm starving myself. That's basically the extent of it.
You know what? I'm trying to do the same thing. I couldn't button my jacket during the finals.
Yeah.
And I am on intermittent fasting, and it's not great because I'm intermittent fasting. I'm only using 8 hours to eat what I used to eat over like the whole course of the day. So I think I may be gaining weight on intermittent fasting.
No, it's like all the things are not, you just if you're not going to exercise or whatever, you just got to starve yourself. You just go to get the calorie deficit, and it sucks. I hate it. but I'm doing it.
Yeah.
All right. The Knicks are in talks with the Jazz coach on acquiring Donovan Mitchell. I have some trepidation about this. I see the way under Jim Dolan the team is run. You know, the regime, after 3 or 4 years, he loses patience. They make a panic move. Love Donovan Mitchell. But if they give up everything to get him, and he's on a max deal and with Brunson, and if they held on to R.J. Barrett, that's it. That's your team. How good do you think he would make the Knicks ultimately? Could he be the best player on a championship team if he gets traded to New York?
Well, I think, you know, I was able to observe him and work with him. He was on our World Cup team a few years back, and I really like him as a guy. He's also like a terrific athlete, explosive, can really score. I think he's got to evolve into a point guard at his size, because it's hard to play defense if you're going to have a 6'1", 6'2", off guard, and an undersized point guard with Brunson as well. I think it would be very, very challenging defensively with that lineup. Now, offensively, they'd be a lot more explosive. Certainly, their three-point volume would go up. The ability to attack the basket would be much better. But if you look back at the other guy they paid big money to in Julius Randle, he's absolutely dominated the ball. And I think questions about how Brunson and Randle fit together are legitimate. I think questions about how Brunson, Mitchell, Randle, Barrett would fit together with all being like dominant ball handling type of guys. And can they fit together and do they complement each other? I think those would be all legitimate questions. The talent level certainly would be up, but the fit, I think, remains to be seen.
Coach, if the Jazz do decide at the end of the day to move on from Mitchell, which team out there do you think would be the best fit?
I had not contemplated that, but I think what you would like to do, Keyshawn, is have a bigger point guard with him. So, like, let's just say, I'm not saying he's a fit for Indiana, but to play with Halliburton, who's a bigger point guard, right? So defensively, you can have some more balance. Trying to play two undersized guards in this league with the wings at the size they are now, I mean, just look at, in the finals. You know, you had Klay Thompson, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Andrew Wiggins, right? Those were the four wings, right? To compete against that at Mitchell's size is very challenging. That's why I think individually for him, I think he needs to try to evolve into a point guard. And that's not as much offensively, because I think his decision-making has really improved over the course of his NBA career. Does it have another jump? Yeah, I think it does. But it's defensively, I think that would help him and that would help the team. And obviously, when I say that, that makes it such that I don't know if the Knicks are the right exact fit for him.
It's crazy. Like, they just can't. My whole life, Coach, they just can't get it right. Even when you were there and you have Patrick Ewing, they needed to bring in one guy who could score who wasn't Patrick Ewing. Love John Starks. But it just seems like the franchise is stuck and in a situation where they feel forced to make desperate moves and create the island of misfit toys. And this just, it's rinse and repeat every 3 or 4 years. New regime, same thing. Then they get fired. They do the same thing. They're afraid Dolan will lose patience. They make a panic move. Would this be a panic move if they gave up the farm for Donovan Mitchell?
Well, I don't know if there's a farm to give up. Like, who's the farm?
The garden. Yeah, I don't know, like draft picks and quickly and whatever young player you might like. I think Sims has got potential, you know, like just got young, interesting pieces and draft picks.
But I'm going to say this. Listen, if they want any of the centers, they could have them.
Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah,
you can find, like, rim-rolling centers. Yeah. In fact, I think too many teams are paying too much money for just guys you can find for a lot less.
By the way, like the Knicks with Mitchell Robinson, right? They have Sims on the team who they could develop, and they just paid for a center. Yeah.
Yeah, and they got Hartenstein, who I really, really like. I thought that was a great signing. Mm-hmm. I just think in general, like, part of their issue salary-wise or decision-wise last summer is when they committed to Noel and Walker. And, you know, really, none of the decisions worked out exceptionally well. So this summer, it's imperative that, you know, Mitchell Robinson outperform his $15 million contract, which is going to be hard to do. And, you know, Brunson play very well, which I expect him to do. You know, I don't think any of the assets they would give up for Mitchell from a player standpoint would prohibit me from doing that, whether it really doesn't matter who. Randall, Barrett, like,
yeah, you can have
him. For – I don't think that's the problem. It's does Mitchell, when he gets here, from a talent standpoint, and Brunson, who you just committed to, do they fit together? Like, that's what you have to try to determine.
The coach, Jeff Van Gundy, is joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Coach, the other team across the river, I think that's what you guys say in New York, Max.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant seems as though he won't be moving on to Phoenix as many people had thought because of the DeAndre Ayton news. Is it better for KD to go back and, I guess, stay with the Nets until such due time that he could be moved, especially in January? Or does he play throughout the season? Or what should the Nets do in this situation with KD?
Well, I think I would not even presume to know what's best in Durant's mind for himself. But I do think for the Nets, you're not going to most likely get what they want right now for Durant. And so I think it's very probable that he comes back and he's the headliner along with Irving and hopefully a healthy Simmons and a healthy Joe Harris. You know, if they get healthy, they're going to be right back in the mix to play for it all. Like, they're that good. Last year, everybody points to they got swept by, you know, Boston, and they did, and Boston obviously did a great job in that series, but those games were close. You know, game one, Tatum makes the layup at the buzzer. I mean,
yeah, no Joe Harris. No, they did not have a team, really. Yeah.
No, and I just think, like, to me, I think the Nets are going to be smart. I think they're trying to get this home run deal. I don't think that's going to occur. And if it doesn't, I think, you know, Durant is, to me, this is, I think this is a difference about him. He loves basketball. There, to me, from what I've seen and observed in my time watching him, being around him at the Olympics, like, this isn't a guy who's going to pout his way through a season or give less than his best. I think his pride in his own game, his loyalty to his teammates, I think he would play exceptionally well no matter where he plays, because that's who he is and that's who he's always been. So if I was the Nets, I would not be concerned at all if I didn't get the exact deal I want, bringing him back as the headliner to make a championship run.
You know, Coach, that's the thing that scares me, and I was going to ask you. It scares me because when you have a talented player or two like a Kevin Durant and a Kyrie Irving, who both seem to be on the trading block, that they would have to go back and play for an organization that, one, requested a trade, according to his representatives, another one just is kind of bizarre all over the place in Kyrie, that they would now have to go back in the building and play. I always question, I know you want to play and you love doing and playing ball, but how much of your heart is really in it? And does the coach trust that you're doing, and the organization trust that you're doing everything possible? And as a coach, will that affect your approach, not knowing really?
Well, it certainly, you want to have the feeling amongst your group as you look to your team each and every day that we're tied together and that we're trying to accomplish something bigger than ourselves. There's no question. And I think there is also no question that the way today has evolved, or the game has evolved, is that there's a lot more jumping around team to team, and there can be some uncomfortable situations that you have to deal with. And I think this certainly would be uncomfortable to start training camp. And there would be a lot of questions about commitment and resolve, and are you still looking to trade, or do you still want to get traded? But at the end of the day, if you start the season off and you're winning, a lot of those things recede. I think we all forget last year, even with the craziness of the Kyrie Irving situation, in the middle of January, the Nets had the best record in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
And then when Durant went down with his injury, coupled with Kyrie's unavailability, they cratered, right? And then they had a, you know, bad first-round matchup against the Celtics, right? But they're a team that, if you look at them, you know, Simmons, Durant, Irving, Harris,
Seth Curry, Joe Harris. I mean, come on. They got a lot. A lot. They just weren't available. All right. The great Jeff Van Gundy.
Yeah, they could win the Eastern Conference.
Oh, listen, people are forgetting. They were waxing Milwaukee the year Milwaukee won the chip without James Harden. Even the game they lost to Milwaukee when they were up 2-1, they played good defense, right? Like, there's a lot there if they could just get on the same page. Jeff Van Gundy, ladies and gentlemen, thanks, Coach. Thanks for hopping on this morning.
All right, take care.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Cowboys, Chargers, Dolphins. Which one of these teams would you want to coach if you had the choice? 888-SAY-ESPN. We'll talk about that next.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
Nate Silver has a book, the signal and the noise. There's a lot of noise. Stats are just noise. What's the signal? What's the story they're telling you, right? What's the important message? Key, I saw a signal stat from about Shohei Ohtani. I think it was like 29 games, okay? He struck out something like 60-plus dudes or 70-plus dudes in under 50 innings in over a stretch of 29 games as a starter with an ERA... under half a run, .47 or something, right? Like, just, you cannot pitch better ever, anyone in history, than what he's been pitching per inning. I mean, they used to pitch longer.
No question. That's why.
But wait, Key, that's not the end of it. Same stretch, 400 on base, 600 slugging with 8 home runs. That's what makes it crazy. He's basically the MVP at the plate and the Cy Young on the hill. It's crazy.
I wonder if he can win both.
That'd be nuts, right? I mean, like, people have done that as pitchers. They've won the MVP and the Cy Young, but as
could he win? I guess, could he win the MVP, Cy Young, and the batting crown or title or whatever the hell,
like,
you
Silver
call
Slugger or whatever? Yeah,
yeah, something at the plate.
He
MVP,
could.
Cy Young, and then whatever is the highest honor at the plate. I wonder if he could do that.
It's unbelievable this stretch he's having, and then you think. Mike Trout, since he's been in the
league, I'm so tired of y'all talking about Mike Trout.
But Mike Trout is going to wind up in an argument as among the greatest players ever.
I can't.
But the bottom line is, every year since he's 20 years old, he's the best player in the world. Every year since he's 20 years, like, at a certain point, you know, you realize if it was fair, he'd have 5 or 6 MVPs. As it is, I think he has 3.
But what makes him the best player? Tell me what makes him the best player.
It's the overall package. He plays center field, not a corner outfield position. He plays gold glove caliber center field. He runs the bases at top levels. He came into the league, stole 50 bases, and barely ever got caught. Doesn't make outs on the base pass. He draws walks. He hits home runs. He hits for a very high batting average. It's the total package.
It's so many people that play well in center field, run the bases well.
But not all
hit
like
home
him,
runs.
Though.
But it's so many, and then they just dub him as the best player
Key, if you win an MVP, that's one thing. When he doesn't win MVP, the MVP, second place, first place, fourth, second place, first place, they got both these guys they can't win. Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio. We were just arguing during extra content about Mike Trout. He led the league in on-base percentage as a Gold Glove caliber center fielder 4 consecutive years, slugging 3 years surrounding those 4 years. He's unbelievable. And then Ohtani, too. And, boy, baseball's not the kind of sport where the 2 best players ever. You could have the 2 best players ever on your team in their primes at the same time, and you might not be good, right? Because you need to pitch, you need a bullpen, you need so many things in baseball. And there's no quarterback. There's no, like, one guy. There's no LeBron James who can come in and help you.
I get it, but when you start telling me Mike Trout is the best to ever do, I just can't for my money.
Look, I'll say
that I get the statistics and analytics and the home runs and running the bases and deep center field and Gold Glove. I understand all those individual accolades. But the one that's missing is lifting up your team.
I don't think a position player can. I think you have to be, it's not like in football, every play runs through the quarterback. In basketball, you have a superstar, Giannis, LeBron, so many of your plays you can run through him. In baseball, you got 4 times, maybe 5 if you're lucky, you're going to come to the plate. That's it. That's what you can do. And if there's no one on base, there's no one on base.
So let me ask you this, though. How could a guy like Barry Bonds take his team to a World Series?
Because, first of all, they had a great team. And secondly,
Did they have a great team because they had a great team? Or did they have a great team because a certain person was the foundation and the leader in the clubhouse to the point where people followed to a whole nother level?
No. Well, here's the real answer. Barry Bonds was already Mike Trout, but he didn't play center field. Trout's better than a prime before the juice. Trout is better than Bonds before the juice. Because he plays center, basically. But they're very similar players in a lot of ways. Trout righty, Bonds lefty. When Bonds jumped on the juice, he became the most unstoppable offensive force.
Allegedly.
Key. When he was 36 years old, suddenly, he became twice as good as he ever was before. And his forehead doubled
sure
in size.
Make sure we always say allegedly.
Yeah. How about a .609, not slugging percentage, on base percentage for it's ridiculous. But anyway, the thing about Trout that's amazing to me is his whole career, he's either winning the MVP or coming in second. Like all the greats, right? They win an MVP, they're great, so they're going to be a top 10 finish. They're 8th, they're 7th. Maybe they win 2. He's already won 3 MVPs and come in second 3 or 4 times. Like, it's just ridiculous. And Ohtani, too. Ohtani's doing stuff we have never seen before. But anyway, well, look, let's talk some football. You ready to talk some football?
Yeah, I could talk football, baseball, soccer, hockey, wrestling,
mm-hmm.
water polo.
Raising kids.
Golf, raising kids.
Yeah. Dinner.
Squash.
You could talk
handball,
dinner.
Handball, yeah. Dinner.
You should see. You should see Key debone a fish like a pro, boy.
So funny.
Like a pro.
I deboned a fish.
Yo, you deboned it like a chef.
Well, you got to check me out on Netflix if you're bored this weekend.
Netflix, what's it called?
Iron Chef. It's.
Oh, you were on Iron Chef.
Yeah,
that's
Iron
right.
Chef on Netflix.
All right, I'm gonna actually watch that.
It's the tailgate battle.
Tailgate battle. Got it. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Miami Story Herald has Sean Payton linked to the Cowboys, Chargers, Dolphins, and Dolphins. Everyone's talking, like, focusing on the Cowboys for obvious reasons, but Chargers and Dolphins. Jeff Darlington said there's only one team that makes sense for Sean Payton in 2023. Listen to this.
Mike McDaniel's going to come in, and if he is successful to it, that job is safe. Brandon Staley, seemingly like he's doing a really good job with the Chargers as well, so that job feels safe. The Cowboys feels anything but safe. Sean Payton's name will be attached to that every single time the Cowboys lose a game. Sorry, Mike McCarthy. That's just the reality you're now living in.
Yeah, and Jeff Darlington is 100% right that his name is going to pop every single time. Mike McDaniel, that job to me, in my personal opinion, is not as good as the Dallas Cowboys job, and the Dallas Cowboys job is not as good or as great as the Charger job. So I understand Brandon Staley seems like he's doing okay. But when you know you put a team together that has Super Bowl aspirations, they have a Super Bowl roster. They're, you can go from top to bottom. There are not five teams in this league with a better roster than the Chargers. There's not five teams. Give me five teams with a better roster than the Chargers. And if the Chargers and Brandon Staley don't do something spectacular this year, I'm betting my money that as we get into November and December, that we start to hear Sean Payton's name more and more attached to the Chargers than the Miami Dolphins or the Dallas Cowboys.
The best quarterback of the group, the best roster of the group, and I love Miami. Dallas, I get it, the warm weather city, the whole thing. Best location's also L.A. You got the location. You got ties with coaching staff. You got the best quarterback. You got the best roster. You have the lowest expectations, like the most upside. Chargers are the job to me. Did the Pacers throw a wrench into a potential KD trade? We're going to talk about that next. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.